One of the recurring issues before state lawmakers at the Capitol is the right approach to regulating the live event ticketing industries in New York. And up for debate again this year is whether the legislature should renew the existing rules and regulations for the ticketing industries or adopt some major reforms that could potentially make the purchasing experience more consumer-friendly. To discuss what could and should be done, we're checking in with Assemblymember Daniel O'Donnell, a Manhattan Democrat who chairs the Chamber's Tourism, Parks, Arts, and Sports Development Committee. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, what do you think of the current laws governing companies like Ticketmaster or secondary ticket market operators like StubHub? Do you feel like they're working for New Yorkers?
That's a very good question and difficult to answer in the COVID era. 3 years ago, we wrote a new law, a comprehensive new law. And for a long time, those industries have been shut down. New York is uniquely difficult to regulate those industries because there's such differences. You know, we're not a state with one major city and one major theater. We have many, right? And so the rules around ticket reselling for an off-Broadway theater or a theater in Glens Falls, the rules can't necessarily be easily adopted to acts that put on stadium shows. And in the end, the consumer's experience is my primary import. I originally, when we created this law almost 20 years ago, I voted no because I didn't think we incorporated enough consumer protections. So we did a roundtable, Senator Skoufis and I. We did it, I think, in December, maybe in January. And it was very informative. But most of the participants, who were the people who these laws would impact, basically said the jury's still out because COVID has, in many ways, shut down a lot of our industry. So I sat down with each of the stakeholders privately with my staff to talk to them about what their experiences are and tried to find a place to make the consumer process better. And one of the things that there was uniformity on is all-in ticket pricing. And what that means is when you go onto the internet and you click on a ticket, it may tell you it costs $17. But then when you go to check out, it costs $42. And the idea should be that when you click, you know, you're not being told what the wholesale price is. You got to be told what the retail price is. And so our staff drafted a change to the law, which we introduced, which would, among other things, increase the penalties for bots, which is, if you're paying attention to the news, is a lot having to do with Mr. Musk and the Twitter thing, what bots are and what the impact they have, but certainly getting a mechanism for people to be penalized for using bots to get around the system. So that's where it is. I have no idea where the Senate is, and we have 5 days left. That's all I have to say.
And just to follow up on that issue of, you know, drip pricing, where the fees get slowly tacked on to the point where, like you said, that $17 ticket ends up becoming a lot more expensive when all the fees, including sometimes, ironically at least, that convenience fee is added on. Would that extra cost simply just be advertised in the initial price that you see if your proposal was enacted?
Well, the proposal has nothing to do with advertising, right? So you can tell someone they can buy a dollar ticket to the New York Mets, which I would like very much. But if you go on the World Wide Web and you try to execute on that promise, and it turns out the $1 ticket is $1 for the ticket and $750 for the fee, that's not really fair advertising. So in the end, we're trying to make it so the minute you begin the process of trying to buy it, you know exactly what the all-in price is.
One of the concerns we've heard about the recent update to the rules is the definition of reasonableness of fees and what's allowed to be charged, because that term of reasonableness could maybe mean different things to different people. Do you think that when this issue is revisited, that there should be a more concrete definition of what constitutes reasonable fees moving forward?
It is very difficult to define reasonableness. And what is reasonable to you and what is reasonable to me, what is reasonable to the multimillionaire and what is reasonable to somebody working minimum wage will be different. And so I can tell you, I fought very hard to get reasonableness into the law 3 years ago. And I understand that it's a inact science, that word, but I think that going beyond it is incredibly difficult. And the reason is incredibly difficult because what happens at a stadium show, what happens at a Broadway theater, what happens at an off-Broadway theater, what happens outside of New York City, are all very different places. I have a friend who told me, she's a country music person, she went to see someone at SPAC, who of course I had no idea who it was, and the ticket cost $40 and the fees were $38. And so clearly that's not reasonable. But how do you write the standard of reasonableness into a statute? That's a difficult, long, complicated process. And in the meetings with these entities that were private, they could speak freely. There was no one there tape recording what they said. When I would ask them who has the best ticket reselling law in the country, to a person, they said New York did. And so I'm reluctant to take a product that the people who have to use it find to be a good product and in an attempt to make it better, make the product worse.
So then under the current law with regards to reasonableness, who's responsible for defining that term? Is it the ticket seller who basically can say, yeah, I think this is reasonable based on XYZ criteria that I'm going through? Or do the consumers have any input into what constitutes reasonableness?
I can't believe I'm about to utter this word, but Mr. Lombardo, I think the answer is that the market does. If you click on a ticket that costs a dollar with $700 fees, you get to say that's not reasonable and I'm not paying it. And if that's what happens, then I believe the people who are trying to sell it are going to turn around and lower their fees. That's the way the market allegedly works. Lord knows I'm not a market person, David, but in the end, I don't know how in this arena you can do much more than ask for reasonableness. And obviously, the Attorney General's office has the power to review and prosecute or, you know, sue people. And if they, I would hope that whoever the Attorney General's office would be, that if someone was advertising a dollar ticket to something and then charging $100 in fines, that they would move against that actor and say, that is not reasonable.
Returning to that issue of transparency, do you think there should be more transparency in the secondary market? For example, letting people know how much a ticket was originally purchased for so they can tell whether they are getting a good deal, a bad deal, or no deal on a site like StubHub?
You've touched the third rail in this conversation. In all the conversations, the people involved's worldview is based on who they are in the game. So are they the initial provider or are they a reseller? And their experiences are very different. If there's a concert in 2023 and you and I decide that would be fun and we buy 10 tickets at what offering price is, let's say $125, and then in 2023, whoever that is becomes the hottest ticket in America, and we can sell them for $500, why shouldn't I be able to do that? We bought them 2 years ago. So, you know, dynamic pricing, which is what partly this is about, has upended a lot of different theories, economic theories about how people make purchases. And the movie Sleepless in Seattle had a very funny line where one teenager said to another teenager, how much does it cost to fly to New York? And the response was, nobody knows, right? So in the end, I don't know how you do that without eliminating someone's ability to profit off the fact that they bought at the right time. It's like the stock market. If you bought in the stock market 6 months ago, you haven't been doing very well. But if you bought 18 months ago, you are. So I'm not sure how to do that. And I've not yet seen a proposal which would suggest to me that how you could.
Well, I guess the question, though, was more about if a ticket was originally purchased for $125 and now it's going for $500 because, say, the band has become much more popular, should I as a consumer know that the ticket was originally purchased for $125? Should that be part of the disclosure process? And though, so when I am considering whether I want to spend $500, I have all the different information that might inform my decision.
Why? If the only thing in your life that your child or your girlfriend or your fiance want is to go see fill in the blank, Adele, and you know that, and you go on the World Wide Web and you say, okay, I want tickets to go see Adele, what difference does it make to you if that person bought them yesterday, the $500 ticket, yesterday for $400 or a year and a half ago for $125? What difference does it make?
I guess you could say that it means that the ticket wasn't originally valued at this much, and that maybe I should think about the ticket and the event differently.
Is that the job of the internet or New York State to make you think about the internet differently?
Well, I think traditionally we think about state regulations as trying to make us make the most informed and thoughtful decisions. So I would say that's maybe a state responsibility.
Well, good luck to you, David. That's all I'm going to say to you, because in the end, in these sort of things, in these issues of free market and desire, why would someone pay X amount of money for designer jeans when they could buy a pair of Levi's for half as much or one tenth as much? And yet some people do. And so how does that come to be? Do we make the people who make the jeans that cost $1,000 tell the buyer what it costs to make the jeans?
One of the issues we saw during the pandemic was that countless events were canceled, but ticket sellers tried in some cases to avoid paying out refunds, arguing that the events were just postponed indefinitely. Do you feel like the state has a role to intervene in those cases? Should there be some sort of law that spells out what would really need to happen when events are, for all intents and purposes, canceled?
Once again, this is an issue that I certainly hear you and understand your concern. The problem is the different kinds of tickets that we are selling in the state of New York. I have friends, and I'm almost one, who, if I had tickets in 2023 for Bruce Springsteen to play somewhere where I was going to be, Madison Square Garden, the Meadowlands, I don't really care, and I had them, I don't want a refund. I'll wait, right? So one of the problems is that in order to demand a mandatory refund, what you're requiring the entity to do is to interact with the consumer. And that's going to be difficult, because if you're someone like me, ask my staff, who never checks his email, which I don't, then all of a sudden, you know, people say, you didn't get my email because I didn't read my email, right? So in the end, if I had tickets in 2023 for an August concert at the Garden, I presume I'm going, and I show up and they tell me my ticket has been canceled because they refunded it to me. And part of the problem is that people view all of these things from their own individual perspective. And so I would never want a refund for Springsteen, is what some of my friends would say. So we are looking at that. But again, the idea that you could artfully make that work so that everybody was happy seems difficult.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblymember Danny O'Donnell. He is the chair of the Assembly's Committee on Tourism, Parks, Arts, and Sports Development. Assemblymember, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Anytime you want me, David, just call.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.